From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Six police officers involved in the arrest of Freddie Gray are facing several charges in connection with his death. Kenneth Burns from member station WYPR reports prosecutors say Gray should not have been arrested in the first place.
Baltimore State's attorney Marilyn Mosby said when Gray saw officers and ran off, officers started to chase him. She says they shouldn't have done so.
Lieutenant Rice, Officer Miller, and Officer Narrow failed to establish probable cause for Mr. Gray's arrest, as no crime had been committed by Mr. Gray.
Mosby added that when Gray was arrested and placed in the back of the van, he was not placed in a seatbelt, despite the van stopping a number of times. He also asked for medical help at least five times and did not receive it. The six officers are facing false imprisonment in addition to manslaughter and assault. One of the officers, the driver of the van, is facing murder charges. For NPR News, I'm Kenneth Burns in Baltimore.
Reaction from the union representing Baltimore police was quick in coming. The union says the officers did nothing wrong. Attorney Michael Davey, hired by the Fraternal Order of Police, calling the charges an egregious rush to judgment.
In my 20 years career as a law enforcement officer and 16 years as an attorney, I have never seen such a hurried rush to file criminal charges, which I believe are driven by forces which are separate and apart from the application of law and the facts of this case as we know them.
However, in announcing the charges earlier today, State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby rejected the union's claims. Meanwhile, members of Gray's family, including his stepfather, said they are happy with the charges in the case. Head of a group holding a march scheduled for tomorrow said it will be a victory rally. A former political ally of New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has pleaded guilty in federal court to two conspiracy counts for his role in a political scheme aimed at punishing a local mayor for not supporting the governor. Matt Katz of member station WNYC has more.
David Wildstein, a Christie ally, admitted in federal court that in 2013 he closed an entrance lane to the George Washington Bridge in the town of Fort Lee to cause major traffic backups. Wildstein said he was punishing the Democratic Fort Lee mayor for not endorsing Christie's reelection. He implicated two other Christie appointees as part of the so-called Bridgegate scandal, both of whom were indicted Friday. Christie is a Republican who is contemplating running for president in 2016, but in 2013 his reelection strategy was centered around securing Democratic endorsements in this blue state. For NPR News, I'm Matt Katz.
Automakers are weighing in with a mixed bag of monthly sales numbers today. General Motors, Ford, Toyota, Fiat, Chrysler, and Nissan all reported strong sales gains in April. Part of the increase in sales numbers driven by buyers flocking to buy crossover SUVs with a decline in gas prices. On Wall Street, the Nasdaq gained 63 points today. The Dow was up 183 points. The S&P 500 closed up 22 points today. You're listening to NPR News in Washington. R&B singer Benny King has died, best known for the song Stand By Me. King died yesterday, according to his publicist. He was 76 years old. NPR's Elizabeth Blair has this remembrance.
Benny King made Stand By Me one of those songs that made people stop and listen.
When the night has come.
Released in the spring of 1961, King wrote it with songwriting team Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller.
So darling, darling, stand by me.
Benny King was born in North Carolina. When he was nine, his family moved to Harlem. He joined the Drifters, a group that helped define elegant R&B.
There go my baby, moving on.
Benny King's recording career spanned some 50 years. Elizabeth Blair, NPR News.
Private launch company SpaceX says it plans to test a launch escape system next week. The system, which is part of its Dragon capsule, aimed at protecting the lives of astronauts, as the company seeks to begin launching manned flights aimed at getting astronauts to the International Space Station. Since the end of the shuttle program, NASA's had to rely on Russian rockets. An Ohio woman who missed graduating from high school in 1952 because she was half a credit shy in gym class has finally gotten her diploma more than a half a century later. As the graduation march played, 80-year-old Susan Reynolds was pushed in a wheelchair by her daughter, Lorraine, to Lorraine Clearview High School's graduation ceremony. Reynolds had been told she was receiving an early Mother's Day gift. She said she waited a long time for the diploma and was glad her children got to see it. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News in Washington.